If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to Mark chapter 7. We're going to work our way through the first 13 verses here, but I'm just going to read verses 6, 7, and 8 right now. Mark 7 and verse 6. And Jesus said to them, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.' Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men." Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here so that your word may have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. We've come this morning to hear from you. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe you've seen something like this. Things Jesus never said. Like, listen to your heart. Be true to yourself. Feel good about who you are. Be a good person. Anything wrong with that? No, except Jesus never said those things. Jesus actually said, "If anyone would be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." It is the difference between commandment and tradition. What Scripture truly says and what we think it says. You've probably had the same experience. I don't know how many times someone has come up to me and said, "Well, doesn't the Bible say? Or didn't Jesus say?" We need to know. And we need to make sure that there isn't a conflict between what God's Word says and our tradition. So we have two examples this morning that we want to look at. And the first one is washing your hands. Both of our girls in their bathrooms have something to the something like this: "Wash your hands because Jesus and germs are everywhere." Now, that's not in the Bible either, but it's a really good idea. Where did the Pharisees go wrong? Chapter 7, verse 1. "The Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered around him," Jesus, "when they had come from Jerusalem and had seen that some of his disciples were eating their bread with impure hands," that is, unwashed. "For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the traditions of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they cleanse themselves. And there are many other things which they have received in order to observe, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and copper pots." The Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands?" Now, we need to be very careful here to understand the question and what's behind it before we look at Jesus' answer, which we read just a little bit ago. The scribes and the Pharisees, Mark says they came down from Jerusalem. Pharisees, keepers of the law, lovers of God's word. The scribes, we've kind of come to think of scribes as those middle ages guys who copied scripture. But that's not what's involved here. These guys were lawyers, and they were lawyers of God's word. They were the ones who took what they knew God's word said, or what they had been taught God's word said, and applied it. They were the ones who answered the questions. Well, if God's word says this, and I have to do this, or I'm confronted with this, how shall I respond? They were the ones who were supposed to be able to take God's word and apply it to everyday life. So, an appropriate combination. Almost all of the scribes were Pharisees. Not all of them, but almost all of them, and you can see why. They loved God's word. They wanted to carefully apply it. They came and they watched Jesus' disciples and accused them of eating with impure or unwashed hands. Now, we need to be careful to understand here. This is not about washing your hands before you eat. This is all about the tradition of how you wash your hands and why you wash your hands. It has nothing to do with taking dirty hands, washing them so that you can eat. It has everything to do with following the rules, the methods, the way. And Mark, knowing that many of his readers would not be familiar with all of the traditions, the Jewish traditions, adds here in verses 3 and 4, For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing, and here this is what helps us to understand this, thus observing the traditions of the elders. Again, this is not about soap and water. This is about being taught how to do something in a very particular way, making it effective. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they cleanse themselves. And there are many other things which they have received in order to observe, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and copper pots. The question then here is in verse 5, why do your disciples not walk according to the traditions of the elders? So again, that helps me understand that this is not about soap and water. This is about a technique. This is about something else, something more. It's about tradition. We do something and the way we do it. So this is not about hygiene. It's about tradition. And you and I know that because of Jesus' answer. We read that earlier, verses 6, 7, and 8. Verse 6, Jesus said to them, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites." You know, the world is okay with the Jesus of love. Now, just love everybody. He taught some wonderful things. But Jesus had no problem whatsoever calling the Pharisees hypocrites. Hypocrites, it's the word for actor, one wearing a mask. Saying one thing, doing another. Saying one thing, looking like one thing, and being another. You're not being truthful. And he called them out. And then he quoted from the book of Isaiah, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." So here's the key. Preaching, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Teaching as though it were the very word of God, what are really precepts and preferences of men. And to underline it, he says then in verse 8, neglecting the commandment of God, what God clearly says, holding to the tradition of men. Now, is there anything wrong with tradition? No. We meet almost every Sunday morning at 10:30. Why? Because it's tradition. We get done somewhere around 11:30. Why? Because you all would leave if I didn't. Tradition. There's nothing in the Bible that says churches will meet from 10:30 to 11:30 every Sunday morning. Does that make it wrong? No. Unless we try to convince people that this is the only appropriate, proper, scriptural time to meet. So there's nothing wrong with tradition unless we mix it up and refer to it as something that it is not. So Jesus in his answer says, you were teaching as doctrine, teaching as the word of God, the precepts of men. Things you've added, which was a problem for the Pharisees. God gave Israel 613 laws. They were civil, they were religious, they were ceremonial, but 613. The Pharisees thought, well, okay, we'll make some more laws, and it'll be kind of like a hedge around those 613 so we don't ever violate the 613. And when it was all over, what they had something north of 1,500 laws. But in the teaching of the Pharisees, it was all equal. It wasn't just the 613 that God gave to Israel. It was the other 900 that they'd added to it. And it was all equal. Teaching as doctrine the precepts of men, and Jesus calls them out on it when he says, neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. So it's not just confusing the two. It's neglecting the one. It's not just confusing God's word with your preferences. It's concentrating on your preferences and ignoring God's word. That's what the Pharisees had done. That's what the people were following. Now, beginning in verse 9, caring for parents. You've heard me pray more than once that I would handle God's word accurately and communicate it clearly. And I have taught this passage or this subject, as it is treated in the Gospels elsewhere, as well as here in Mark, on more than one occasion. And on more than one occasion, I think every time I have handled it accurately, but somehow I've managed to communicate it unclearly. People have left here thinking something else, or hearing something that I didn't intend to say, or hearing something that I didn't mean quite as they heard it. So I will try to be a little more careful today. When it comes to caring for parents, what does the law say? Jesus is continuing this discussion that he's having with the Pharisees, and he says, he was also saying to them, verse 9, you are experts at setting aside commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. Okay, just kind of following what Jesus is saying. You guys like to talk about washing hands. The problem is not just that you confuse God's word with tradition. You ignore God's word in your pursuit of tradition. Now Jesus is saying, let me give you another illustration. Another illustration of you setting aside the commandment in order to keep your tradition. For instance, verse 10, for Moses said, in other words, the Bible says, as Moses was writing in the book of Exodus, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother will be put to death. Yeah, that's really in there. Thankfully, we don't do that anymore. But that's how important God wanted Israel to understand the responsibility of children toward their parents. Early on, parents were to teach their children to honor them. And through discipline, teach them. Through example, show them how to treat one another. Jesus says, now that's what the Bible says. That's what God's word says. That's the commandment. That's where we've gotten this commandment versus tradition. Verse 8 here is illustrated in verses 9 and 10. So that's what the commandment is. Honor your father and your mother. The tradition, verses 11 and 12. But, and that's always important. I don't know how many times I've heard that. I know what God's word says, but. And I know what I'm about to hear. You know what God's word says. But you say, verse 11, if a man says to his father or his mother, whatever I have that would help you is Corban. That is to say, given to God. You no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother. Wow. How did they come to that? Well, it's a tradition. And it worked something like this. Mom and Dad, I know you're starting to get to the point where you're going to need a little help. But I got some good news and I've got some bad news. I just promised a whole bunch of money to the synagogue. And they think, well, great, son. I'm glad you... That's the good news. The bad news is that whole bunch of money was the money that I had put aside to take care of you in your old age. Does that make any sense to you? It made perfect sense to them. And they called it Corban. That is, set aside for God. Now you talk about some fancy bookkeeping. And remember, these were Pharisees. These were scribes. Who benefits regularly by money given to the synagogue? Yeah, that's right. They did. Jesus said, when you do that, verse 13, you invalidate the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that. This is just an illustration, guys, of what you are doing regularly. I have chosen one of the top 10. Honor your father and your mother. These are the ones, they were supposed to know all 613. This is the top 10. Honor your father and your mother. And you've managed to create a system that allows you to neglect them. It's tradition. And you've elevated that tradition above the very word of God. Now, before we conclude, let me remind you of a little something about the world that these folks were living in. Few of them, if any, had a Bible. The only scripture, the only Bible they ever saw, most of them ever saw, was the scroll in the cabinet in the synagogue. They didn't have two or three laying around the house and one on the back deck of the chariot. Not like that. Also, many of them couldn't read. Now, what happens when you don't have the availability of God's word, and even if it was out there, you couldn't read it? Well, you have to be told what the Bible says, and you have to be told what to believe. That's how they were getting away with this. Most of them couldn't argue with them, couldn't refute it. Yes, many of them had hidden away God's word in their hearts. They'd memorized vast portions of Scripture, but not all of it. And few of them had the education to understand it as the Pharisees supposedly did, defend it as the scribes supposedly could. So they were at the mercy of those men who had been elevated to rabbi or teacher, and they just assumed he knew what he was talking about. The problem is not tradition. Traditions can be good. They can be fun. They can be helpful. We have a couple of Christmas traditions. They're helpful because while Christmas almost never works out exactly as you plan, at least you've got a couple of things you can hang some things on. Scriptural? No. Can't find it in the Bible. But it's just Carlsons have done it for so long, it's kind of what we do. And we work around that. Tradition? It's not the problem. Traditions can be good. The problem is confusing tradition with commandment. Preference with precept. What you think God's word says, what you know it says because you've read it, and what you know and what you obey. Jesus called his questioners hypocrites. Actors, pretenders, out of touch with reality. That's the challenge this morning. Know God's word and obey it. Enjoy your traditions. Just don't call them commandments. But where God's word is spoken, know it and obey it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately and communicated it clearly. Thank you for the challenge. We can all fall into this trap. We can get so lazy that we don't remember what your word says. Or we can hear something and we think, oh yeah, that sounds familiar. I bet that's in the Bible. When it isn't. We need to be better informed. We are a most blessed people. We can all read. We all have available a Bible in the language that we speak. We have no excuse for not knowing what your word says. And if we claim to be your children, we have no excuse for not obeying what your word says. Help us, Father, to come out from behind the masks. Be honest with you, honest with ourselves, honest with one another. And in the process, then encouraging obedience, not just in our lives, but in the lives of one another. Walking faithfully with you and with one another, being open and honest. May your word have your desired impact upon our hearts today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.